It's so good to be here. I'm loving the weather. You guys enjoying the weather? I love it. Hey, if you don't know, I'm turning 40 this Saturday. And you guys are invited to my birthday party. Information's in the bulletin. You can sign up on your connection card. We'd love to have you over. It should be a great celebration. We're starting a new series today called Off to Work We Go. We're talking about work. Now, work is an interesting thing because people who are out of work can't wait to get a job. People who have a job can't wait to retire. And it seems like work is one of those things that people think about as a necessary evil. Like, I have to go through it, but it's not something I really enjoy, but who's going to pay the bills? And what I want to say is that God has a much different picture of work. In fact, sometimes when we think of work, we think that the ideal life is not having to work, right? If I can just vacation the rest of my life, I will have it made. In fact, cartoons show heaven as you get a pair of wings and a halo and you're on a cloud playing a harp, doing absolutely nothing. And that is so not the picture of what God talks about when it comes to work. And so I want you guys to say something out loud with me. Here it is. It's work is good. Okay, let's say it out loud. Work is good. And what I want to do is read some scripture and talk about the big picture of work and how do we let God's Spirit flow through us as we are working as He intends us to work. Now, what we're going to do is read through a scripture of Exodus 31. So if you would, turn to your Bibles. Exodus is the second book in your Bible, Genesis, then Exodus. Go to chapter 31, and we're going to read the first five verses, Exodus 31, 1 through 5. You guys there? Okay, let's stand up in honor of God's word as I read from His word, Exodus 31, 1 through 5. Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship." Let's say it again. Work is good? Let me pray for us. God, we thank You that You are a worker, and You create us to work, and work is good. And so, Lord, I just pray right now that this would be a time for us to remember why You created work, how You created work, and You would equip us to work for Your glory so we receive the joy. God, we want to be filled with Your Spirit in our workplaces. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The scripture we just read was the first time it's ever mentioned in the Bible that God filled somebody with His Spirit. I want you to take a note. God didn't fill Adam or Eve with His Spirit. God didn't fill Moses at this point with His Spirit. But who did He fill with the Spirit? A guy who's into construction, who's an artist, who likes to work with his hands. And God said, that is good. Do you guys know that God is a worker? This Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God what? Created the heavens and the earth. Chapter 1 of Genesis is all about God working and having a great time at it. Every time He was done with the days of work, He would look and say, it is good. And then He created man and woman, Adam and Eve. And what did He ask them to do? He asked them to work in the garden He had created. He said, take care of the work in the garden I have given you. So from the beginning, God gave people work. Do you know that most of our heroes in Scripture had secular work? Meaning they worked outside of the church. Let's talk about Jacob. He was a rancher. Joseph was a government official in a country that was far from God. Moses spent 40 years of his life working as a shepherd. Esther, she won a beauty pageant. And she became a prime minister. Lydia was a woman who worked as a businesswoman. Paul, one of the greatest missionaries, was a maker of tents. And Jesus was a carpenter. And we forget that he spent the first 30 years of his life working with his hands, making benches, tables. He worked as a construction worker. He was a carpenter for most of his life. The Bible was written by workers, about workers, and for workers like you and me. Most people spend about half of their waking lives doing what? Working. And we often quote the fourth commandment that says it's about Sabbath, taking a rest. You guys remember that commandment? But we forget that the first part of that commandment is 6 days you shall work. God created work, and it was good. Now, you're going to find in your life that you have a couple options. You have two different ways of looking at work. And so I want to just talk about kind of the two different levels of work you have. The first, if you're taking notes in your outline, there's a blank space there. But one reason people work is to support themselves. Most people look at a job as, this is something I need to do to support myself. It comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where Paul says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win respect, the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anyone. And what Paul is saying here is it's good to work, to do your job, so that you don't have to be dependent on anyone, but you get to work and take care of yourself. In fact, the church he was writing to later on got lazy. They so believed that God was coming back, Jesus was coming back so quickly, they decided, why work? Let's just wait for Jesus' second coming. You hear things like that today. There's big news, you guys, that Jesus is coming on May, what is it? 21st. It's a lie. We do not know when Jesus is coming. Do not fall for those lies. But those who are believing it are selling homes, are doing crazy things because they think, why work if Jesus is coming? And this church was doing the same thing. So what does Paul say? He says, if a man will not work, he shall not eat. Good thing to show your little kids who are now big kids but still living at home. If you don't work, you don't eat. Get out of the house. Get a job. The idea here is work is good. Work is good. Now, that's the first level, is just to provide yourself. But there's a whole second level of work that I want to emphasize this morning. And the second level is this, that God created work for you to enjoy and to allow it to benefit others. That God created work for you to actually have a blast at it. And do it so you feel fulfilled. Do it so you feel strong. And at the same time, you're doing it in such a way that you're benefiting and blessing others. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 2:24, a man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his what? His work. One of the best things we can do is to find joy and satisfaction in our work. Paul says in Ephesians 4:28, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but he must, guess what it says, work. Doing something useful with his own hands that he may have something to share with those in need. And I love what Paul is talking about. He's talking to people who, for their lives, make it a point to steal from others. He says, you know what? You shall no longer steal. You should get a job and work. But not only that, you should work so you can help other people. So God gave us work to take care of ourselves, but also there's a whole second level of doing it so that we are enjoying it. Gaining satisfaction, loving it, and using what we're doing to bless and care for others. So what I want to do is talk about how do we let God flow in our work? How do we live lives that we actually feel God working through us and in us, so we're finding satisfaction and joy and doing it with a great heart? I want to share the biggest thing you can do to let God flow in your work, and here it is. Discover your strengths. Discover how God wired you. All of you are strong in something. All of you are a 10 in something. We differ what that is, but all of you have an area in life where you can put your hands to work and do really well. And when you discover that and put that to work and you use that to benefit others, you experience a sense of joy that God intended to give you for work. you know you're doing something in your strength when you're doing it, you actually feel strong. You feel good. You feel like it's giving you life. You feel like there's joy, that you're contributing. You can't wait to do it. You're consumed by it in a good way because you feel like you're in your element. For some of you, you feel at your strongest when you're playing music. You pick up that guitar or play on a keyboard, and all of a sudden God does something in you where you just come alive because you're acting in your strength. Some of you, all you need to do is get a group of people together and lead a team, and when you're leading a team, you come alive. There's something about just gathering people and directing them in a certain direction where you feel like, God, you have created me for this. I am living in my strength. Some of you will meet one-on-one with someone and counsel them, and you will leave that conversation feeling strong, feeling like you were acting in your strength. You had the ability to talk to someone and help counsel them in a way that brought them life. And you leave that and say, God, when can I do that again? I felt so strong. For some of you, it's building something with your hands. You work in a home or you work out in the yard. You're working with your hands and you look at what God allowed you to make and you just to love to look at it and think, God, that was so much fun. When can I do that again? Each of you have at least one area where God has so wired you to work in a way that brings you satisfaction because he's wired you with a strength or several strengths, and one of your jobs is to find out what that strength is. See, so often we recognize what we're not good at, right? We go to work and we think, I'm not good at this, I'm not good at this, I'm not good at this. And we spend all our time trying to fix what we're not good at, but we totally miss where God has actually already put his fingerprints in you where you are good at it. I've shared before that I am not good at planning parties that involve food. I get stressed. I invite people over and I think, I don't know how much food to make. I don't know what kinds of food to make. And I will just get anxious. Now, some of you, you see parties of 50, and right then the menu's in your head. You have quantities. You've already developed the shopping list in your back pocket. And you just go out. I look at you and think, how do you do that? I just get anxious. Sometimes I have you guys over, and I start cooking, and Becky, my wife, comes by, and she says, is that all you're making? What do you mean? Well, you're going to provide any vegetables? Oh, yeah, I guess hot dogs aren't, that's not a meal, huh? I don't think of these things. These things don't come very good to me. When something breaks in my house, I get stressed. I look at it and think, there's a hole in my wall, and I don't know what to do about it. This is a true story. My son rammed a chair into our back wall in our living room, and there's a hole that none of you will be able to see because the chair covers it up. And I don't know what to do about it. But some of you, you see that hole, and you think, I know exactly what to do. I know how to do it. I can't wait to get started on this because you're living in your strength. Me, I love to teach. I love to understand things, and I think, how can I talk about this in a way that people will get it and act on it? And when I get into that motive, how can I creatively communicate that? Something comes alive in me, and I love that. Some of you have come up to me and say, teaching stresses me out. I can never be like that. I'm like, that's fine. Go do something that God has given you a strength for, and do it well, and experience God's glory in the work that he has given you. We all have our strengths, and God wants you to discover those to live in the joy of work. There is something you can do well. There is something you can do better than most people in this room. Find out what it is and do it for God's glory. Interestingly enough, research shows that the best moments of our lives don't come during vacations. The best moments of our lives, researchers say, come when we are totally immersed in a task that is challenging but also matches up with our strengths. The thing that brings us most alive when we are working hard on something that's challenging but really matches up with what we enjoy and what we're good at. One way of thinking about that is this. Can you guys all see this? If we were to kind of graph, I'll say this side is your strengths. And this side is the challenge. Some of us, if we have a really high strength, but we're doing something that's very low challenge, you with me? What this is called is boredom. It's like you're able to build a house and someone says, can you make a birdhouse for me? You're like, huh, I guess. It's just not that fun. Some of us have a high challenge, but it's totally outside of our strength. We're not skilled at it. We don't know what we're doing. You know what this is called? Stress. But when you find something that matches your strengths and is a huge challenge for you, that's called joy. Amen. Thank you, Pearl. And what we're saying here is that God created you with some strengths. Discover them. And position yourself in such a way that you are challenging yourself beyond what you're used to. And when you do that, that is where God wired you to find joy in work. Here's what this means. For some of you, it means that in the job you're in, it doesn't mean you have to find another job, but what you're going to do in your job is you're going to say, what about my job am I strong at and am I enjoying at? And some of you may need to have a conversation with your boss and say, I do this really well. Is there a way I can focus on this more in my job? Some of you might need to find a different job. You are just in something that's so off, and you're thinking, I need to be doing this. But most of us are probably already in the right job. It just means adjusting it in such a way and working it out with our supervisors that we get to apply it in a way that brings us joy and lets us act in our strength. John Ortberg says that a priest is someone who represents God to people, or God to the earth. But then he says, the reality is that God created us all as priests. See, God worked, and he continues to work. And when he created us in his image, he said, work. And so we are a representative here on earth of who God is when we work. Here's the problem. We sometimes think certain jobs are more holy than others. You know, for me as a pastor, with our denomination, I have to go through a series of interviews, a series of classes, a series of education, a series of experiences before my denomination says, we now license you as a pastor, which just gives me some legal rights in terms of marrying you guys, burying you guys, you know, those kinds of things. But what I get is I get a certificate. I get licensed, and now I'm working to something called ordination. When I get that, they're going to give me a permanent certificate that says, you are ordained to work as a minister. I wish we ordained every career. I wish we went to the construction worker and said, we now ordain you as a construction worker. Go live out God's life. Some of you are homemakers, and we want to ordain you and say, you work in the home or with kids. We ordain you in that role. Go be a priest where you are. Some of you work with computers, and you just love it, and you're so good at it, and we need to give you a certificate, or I wish we could, and say, you are now a computer technician. You are ordained by our church to go live out your calling. See, our calling happens inside of our work, not outside of it. You are called by God to be a priest right where you are at, living in your strength, enjoying what God is doing, finding your strength, and saying, God, I do this for your glory. Your work is the primary place where your calling gets lived out. So here's my challenge for you. Recognize that calling. Recognize that God has gifted you with strengths. And be a priest. Amen. This is going to be a shorter sermon. We're going to continue next week with the other side of work. What happens when work just stinks? What happens when we're in a job we don't like? We're going to continue that next week. Now, we're ending a little shorter today because we're going to have a baptism and celebrate new life. So what I'd like to do right now is pray for us, share a few things coming up in our church life, take our offerings, and then we'll transition out. So let me pray for us right now. Lord, we just want to say we are so sorry that we have viewed work as a thing to get through, an inconvenience, a bad thing, something we just have to go through, a necessary evil. When in fact, God, you are a worker. You are currently working in our lives and in our world. God, you've wired us. You've given us certain strengths. And God, I know there's a lot of people here who are feeling that discontent of not living in their strengths. Lord, I pray right now that you would bring guidance and direction and clarity to know what decisions need to be made so that we can be living in our strengths and glorify you in our work. Lord, I pray that we would become a people who just love the work you've given us. I pray, God, for commissioning for everyone in our church. God, that they would be sent out by you to be the person you have them to be, whether a mailman or a construction worker or a nurse or a PE teacher or a teacher, whatever it is, Lord. We just pray that all of these people here would feel called by you to go live out their work where they are right now. And Lord, we're excited about the baptisms coming up as well as we celebrate new life. And Lord, if there are people here who have not yet accepted that new life, I pray this would be the day for them, Lord, that they would give their lives to you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.